Hello everyone, today I'm with Chris McCombs. We've got a really great story to cover today and I hope you enjoy it. I'll start by just welcoming Chris. Hey, how's it going?
Hey Michael, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Great to have you here. I'll jump straight in. You got a great story and I want to quickly cover how you sort of went from the lowest point where you can be in the business and in life and now doing some great stuff. So do you want to just jump in and tell us where you were a few years back?
Oh yeah. Well, I was one of those kids who had really bad ADD in school and didn't do well at school at all. Couldn't even focus on what the teachers were talking about and couldn't stand any job I had. When I tried to get jobs as a teenager, I just couldn't stand it. So I found actually selling pot was something that I actually really enjoyed doing, and the pot helped a lot with my ADD. And I kind of have OCD too, so I got really into my business, and I blew it up to where we were moving, you know, large amounts of marijuana all over the country. And after doing that for quite a number of years, I got arrested, and I served time for what I was doing. And when I got out, I actually ended up I ended up homeless. I lost everything from my marijuana trafficking days. Lost everything, ended up homeless, ended up hooked on painkillers and just a freaking mess. And at age 30, I just said, you know what, I got to change this. So I got into, I just started reading, literally read hundreds of books on spirituality, philosophy, psychology, self-help, all that stuff. And I would just take bits and pieces I'd apply from the different books and completely changed my life. And at 30, you know, ended up, you know, broke with a minimum wage job. But at least I was, you know, I was kind of walking the straight path and quit all the stuff I was doing. And didn't like my job, so I got into personal training. And within a few years of personal training, I discovered how to get a lot of people from the internet to my local personal training business. And basically getting people from Google, from the Google Organic and Google Pay-Per-Click and now Google Local, and also from Craigslist and MySpace and a bunch of different sources, I was able to get enough personal training clients to give them to 15 different personal trainers in my area to where I actually didn't have to work. And I took that business, I automated it, systemized the whole damn thing, and outsourced basically everything, outsourced the clients, to outsource the training to the personal trainers, the customer service to my wife and to my assistant, the billing to the accounting to my wife, and the sales calls that come in from my website. I outsource that to some appointment setters who make the appointments for the trainers, and that whole business takes me about 30 minutes to an hour a month, and that 30 minutes to an hour a month is just basically looking at the numbers. And from there, I really liked the internet marketing stuff. I mean, just completely loved it. So I started a blog about how I did all that. And on the blog got pretty popular pretty fast. And I got a really good following on there. And after having the blog for the better part of a year, I launched my first information product. And that product, we did over $50,000 in sales in the first week, and about $300,000 in billable payments over the course of a year, because it's a year-long program. And since then, I've been releasing a new info product every month or two, and that's built up to you know, what's closing in on $1 million a year business in the near future here, about $750,000 a year now for a business that really probably takes, you know, takes 10, 15 hours a week, some weeks 20 hours a week, but it doesn't take a whole lot of time, and it allows me to work where I want, when I want, you know, and on my own terms, I'm able to take off weeks or months at a time sometimes, and it's a great deal. And it all started from a blog, basically just built a following of loyal readers on my blog and turn that into an info marketing business. And since then, now I'm out making a documentary about the whole subculture of internet marketing. We got probably 80% of all the big the big top internet marketers that most people would know. We've got them in the movie. That we've gone and interviewed them, flown all around the country, and you know, that's the 2-minute version of my story right there.
That's incredible. It's amazing how you could go from one end to the other end doing so much great stuff. So I want to just go back to when you did start and you just got out of prison. You know, you had pretty much nothing. What gave you that kick, and what would you suggest others to, you know, get off your butt and actually do something and achieve something in your life?
You know what? There was just no place for me to go. There was just no friends left. I was totally miserable, totally strung on these painkillers. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, continuing living the way I was. So, you know, kind of not to get too woo-woo or spiritual on you here, but, you know, I basically just said a prayer, and I had no idea what I was praying to or whatever. I just prayed, you know, help, you know, whatever's out there, just help. And the next day I was at the library picking up books on, you know, spirituality and philosophy and self-help and all that. And I just completely, that became my new obsession for the next couple of years, was just becoming a better person, completely changing the way that I looked at the world, completely changing the man that I had become. And I did that diligently, you know, for a few years, and I still do it today, but it's not like it did back then. Back then it was, you know, it was a crash course on being a good human being. And I can't tell you how much all those different, you know, all the different books helped. I literally picked up hundreds of them. And a lot of times I didn't agree with everything that was in the book, but it would just be one nugget. I would get one nugget from this guy, one nugget from that guy, and I would just apply the stuff to my life on a constant basis. And, you know, that was huge. Just being willingness to learn and to change everything about what I thought was true and what I thought was real, and being willing to grow. You know, I mean, when you smoke weed and do drugs for, you know, over 15 years, and you start when you're, you know, 14 or 15 years old, you kind of wake up a 30-year-old, 14-year-old, if that makes sense. You have the emotional capacity of like a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So I had to wake up at age 30 and just really go through some growing pains there. But you know what? It's really cool because it didn't take long, and pretty soon things just got better and better and better.
That's brilliant. Thanks for sharing that. So you just mentioned you've read literally hundreds of books. What book, you know, was the best book you read, and how did it impact your life, and why should others read it?
You know what? I can't come up with a single book, but I can fire off a handful of them at you.
Sure, do that.
Okay, The Power Now by Eckhart Tolle completely changed my life. That was a big one. Byron Katie's books, she has a book called Loving What Is. That book changed the way I saw things. The Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, was that was a giant one for me. Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, that completely changed the way I talk to people. I didn't really have any social skills at all when I started all this. So, you know, that one helped me a lot. All the Wayne Dyer stuff, you know, basically, a lot of books and stuff like that.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. So after you sort of got off your ass, you started doing some things and you started achieving things, and, you started out your own fitness business, and you brought in, I think you said, 15 trainers.
Yep.
What did you learn from running your first proper legal business?
What did I learn? That's a great question. I learned, basically, I learned a lot by reading the E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and I learned that I did not want to be the technician in my business nor the manager, that I just wanted to be the entrepreneur, and that unless I systemized my business and created step-by-step systems for every part of it, that I was going to be working my butt off. No matter how big my business got, I would be working 70, 80, 90 hours a week, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to own something that made me money and gave me a lot of freedom. And basically through, reading Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek and Michael Gerber's The E-Myth, I took that stuff and applied it to my business. I think I quit training about a week after I read The E-Myth. I read The E-Myth and I said, you know what, I'm just going to systemize my whole business. And I did it. I created systems for everything and outsourced it to other people. It's basically what I did. So I created a business reliant on systems. And that was a huge turning point for me to realize that, hey, why not have systems that do the work for me and get other people to do them and just kind of own the systems, own the business, instead of me actually going out and having to trade an hour to make a dollar, if that makes sense. That was probably one of my biggest lessons in my life, and I basically learned it from, you know, Michael Gerber, and then learned more of it from Tim Ferriss.
That's brilliant. So you've just covered why, you know, your business and what it's like running your first own business. But what was it like? What was the transaction going from illegal to legal? You know, would you like to weigh out for those people out there? You know, some people could possibly be trading illegally or still could be even selling dope like you were. I mean, would you like to just give us some comparisons and why it's so much better to be in the place you are now?
Well, it's kind of funny because I actually stopped the illegal activity when I was around 25, but I didn't become, you know, I didn't have financial success legally until I was about 33. So I was broke for the first five to 8 years. The first 5 years I was jobless, right? So after I quit dealing, I was jobless. I mean, I would work as a bouncer here and there, throwing drunks at a bar, but I couldn't hold down a regular job. So that sucked. And then I would get minimum wage jobs, and that completely sucked too. I learned that, you know, one of the reasons that I think I did the illegal stuff was I never liked having a job and living by someone else's values. And I'm an entrepreneur by nature. I have to do something I'm passionate about that gets me going, that I can get obsessively focused on. And it has to be something that's in line with my values. And if I'm doing that, then I'm a pretty happy guy. I'm willing to work hard. I mean, sometimes before a launch, I'll put in, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Usually we don't, but before a big launch or something, I will. And as long as whatever that is in line with my passion and my purpose and my values, then I'm completely satisfied. If I'm not, if I'm just out working a regular day job, I'm completely miserable. And to be honest, I had a lot more fun selling the pot than I did having a regular day job. A lot more fun. However, it's not in line with my values today, for one, you know. Two, there's this thing called karma that can come back and kick you in the ass. Three, you know, I used to have nightmares about getting busted. I mean, I used to wake up in the middle of the night, imagine, you know, breaking down my door, and that kind of sucked. You know, I don't have that today. So there's a lot bigger peace of mind that I have today. But I've just found as long as whatever you're doing is in line with your values, you know, that's the most important part, and it's aligned with your purpose. And if it's something that helps other people and can help you to be financially successful, all the better. I mean, that's just the best place to be in the world.
Brilliant. Great share. Thanks very much, Chris. Okay, so you've done all the offline stuff, and you're now coming online, and you start a blog. Would you like to just cover with us quickly why you start a blog and how it could impact your business?
Okay, well, I started a blog because I found out that the thing I really loved to talk about was this internet marketing stuff. I mean, I would be at a party and I just wouldn't have anything to talk about with people, right? I kind of feel a little socially awkward. And then there was one other guy in the room who was into like marketing or internet marketing or business, and then I could really get into it. So I go, hey, this is stuff I love to talk about. Why not do it in a blog, you know, when I can go do it my own way? And I came out with a blog that was pretty controversial for my industry. It was pretty edgy. I kind of made a blog that was kind of a mix of a good internet marketing blog for the fitness industry mixed with Maxim magazine, right? It was a blog for guys, for 20 to 40-year-old male fitness experts who typically might have a couple tattoos, and they either listen to kind of heavy music or hip-hop, and they like, you know, they like the movie Goodfellas, and they like the movie Pulp Fiction, they like the movie Heat, and they swear a little bit. And they're generally good people, you know what I mean? That was the guy that I went after. Those were the trainers that I knew, and I went after them, so I created a blog tailored to them. And the industry had never seen anything like it. Most of what was out there, not everything, but most of what was out there was pretty bland. So I came out with something edgy, exciting, controversial, fun, and I just poured my heart out in the blog, giving away basically, you know, my secrets. Basically, what I did in my business, I was giving it away on the blog, and that created quite a bit of buzz in the industry, because all of a sudden I'm at the top of the search engines for all these big terms that these other guys had, you know, been competing for these terms for years, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm above them, and I'm getting a lot more traffic than them. My Alexa rank is way better than them. I'm getting way more comments on my blog than them, and they're like, well, who's this guy? And, you know, I got in with all those guys, actually, the kind of big gurus in my market. I contacted them. I went out of my way to do some cool things for them. And then I said, hey, I'm actually going to come out with an info product soon. You know, I'd love you to promote it if you're down. And I did go to these guys at the beginning and say, hey, would you promote a product I have coming out? I made sure that, you know, 3 to 6 months in advance, I went out of my way to help them and to be of use, you know, to them, and to create cool blog posts about them and to send them some traffic and to help them with their own websites and their own search engine optimization and stuff like that. And then I came to them and asked them to promote my thing, and they pretty much all did across the board. However, if I didn't have that blog, I wouldn't have had the credibility you know, I wouldn't have had the credibility that I did. I wouldn't have the traffic that I did to show these guys that, hey, look, you know, I'm creating quite an impact in the industry, and you know, we should be on the same side. So having that blog helped tremendously. It gave me a lot of authority in my market. It gave me great positioning in my market. It created a lot of buzz in my market. It gave me, you know, it got me very well known in my market. So it did a lot of things. And now it's basically my funnel into my products. I don't have an email newsletter. What I do is I have a blog, and I typically send out 2 to 3 days a week. I do blog posts. And I send people from my email, from, you know, my email list to my blog, and then my blog funnels to all my products. You know, the products are all in the, they're in the navigation bar over on the right. They're on my Build Your Business page. And then usually in every blog post or two, I'll mention a product or two in the blog post. I'll pitch it too hard. Sometimes I'll pitch it really hard, but other times it's just right in there in the content. And I'm giving people. And that, you know, for one, that creates that law of reciprocity. You know, people, I'm giving them all this great content. So when I come out with a product, they're a lot more apt to buy from me because they're like, damn, if all this stuff he's been giving us for free for the last year or two, you know, that thing he's selling must be really good. So it gets people buying my stuff because law of reciprocity, and they trust me and the positioning I have. And also it sucks in a lot of people from the search engines who are looking online for what I have to offer. So they're searching. My stuff will come up to the top of the search engines. They'll end up on my site, and then they'll see all my products and services. So it's allowed me to sell, you know, everything from, I have low-end products that are like $47 a month continuity products up to $10,000 coaching programs. And my blog is what helps me sell all of that.
Wow. That's incredible. What a great share. I think, everyone listening to this right now, he's touched on a great point on, just personal branding for one, because your blog really brands not just your business but your name, and you can really take your business so much further with just having a blog. Tell me, Chris, what would your top advice be for someone who is starting their blog and wants to do something like you have?
One is be different. Do something to separate yourself from everybody else out there. That's really important. Make your blog fun. I like to look at it as make it a personal conversation between you and your reader, as if they were your best friend sitting down with you at a pub or a bar, or if you're a female, you know, maybe at a coffee shop or out having tea, right? Yeah. They're your best friend, and you're sitting down having a personal one-on-one conversation. You're not talking down to them. You're talking on an equal level. But once in a while, you're cracking a joke. You're telling a fun story. You're doing some stuff like that. So make it fun and interesting on a personal level. That one is huge. And the other one is, hey, be willing to do some work for the next 6 months or year without getting paid for it. You know, don't think you're going to put up a blog post and a week later the world's going to come and go, oh, my God, this guy's got a blog. We all must come to see it. You know what I mean? Because there's, I don't know what there are, but there's probably millions of them out there now. You have to spend some time and find your voice and start getting the traffic and building the relationships and stick to it. I mean, for the first, I don't know, the first 9 or 12 months I had my blog, I wasn't making any money at all, but I was doing it because I knew the money would come. And you have to be willing to do that. Don't think you're going to put up a blog a day and in 2 weeks you're going to have a big paycheck.
I'll tell you what, Chris, you're giving it to them straight. I mean, I couldn't agree more on your comment about having to be on their level, because I have to tell you what, so many bloggers out there and marketers, you know, they're up and they're saying, hey, I am so much better than you. But it's almost like you have to be a bit humble and, you know, be their friend. And I have to agree, you know, you can get a lot further doing that. Okay, cool. So you took your blog and then you launched your first information product, which I believe you made about $50,000 in the first week. So would you like to just take us, because so many bloggers think about launching their own information product, and I would like to cover just quickly how bloggers or entrepreneurs should launch their first information product.
Well, what worked really good for me is I saw what the big guys were doing, like Jeff Walker and Frank Kern, and I go, hey, that's working for these dudes. It's going to work for me too. And it was basically a 6-week process. Luckily, I've been building the relationships for the previous 3 to 6 months, right? One of the key things is getting the big people in your niche to mail for you. If you can get that, you can make, you know, 10 times as many sales right out of the gate if you can get the big guys in your niche to mail for you. The problem is most of them, one, probably aren't going to want to mail for you, especially if you just come to them and say, hey, I'm coming out with a cool product. Will you mail your list? right? I mean, actually, they're going to be probably pretty offended by it and not like you right out of the gate if you come to them like that. Go become friends with them. No expectation of them doing anything in return. Go out of your way to help these guys, whether you can help them with their marketing, you can do cool blog posts about them, you can, you know, you can send them some books or products that have helped you, whatever it is. Go out of your way to start the relationships with these guys. That's the first thing right there, because they can help you make 10 times as many sales right out of the gate. you know, one of my affiliates made out of 152 sales that we did, he made 71 sales in that week. So that showed me the strength of having, you know, a big affiliate, some big affiliates. And I had actually, I had four, you know, really power affiliates on that. And that helped tremendously. So get the affiliates lined up. And then I basically did the thing where I put out like 2 weeks worth of really good free content on squeeze pages, right? I mean, here's a video. And if you want to see more videos, give your name and email over here. And I would have these guys send traffic to it, and it would just basically cookie, it would hit that their affiliate cookie whenever they would send someone over. That person's computer would get cookie with their affiliate tracking. So like, let's say one of my affiliates sent someone over, but the person didn't buy for a week and a half. If they bought, it would, that person who originally sent it would get the commission. So I did the basic, you know, what you see Frank Kern do with mass control and Jeff Walker do with product launch, and you see all the big IM guys doing it. I put out probably 5 or 6 pieces of free line content, giving away really good tips in the videos, making the videos fun and stuff like that. And then the last few videos were, hey, here's what's in my program. It's coming out this day. It's coming out this time. Here's my guarantee. Here's how much it costs and all that. And then I launched it at a certain time. I launched it at, you know, like 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. And, you know, immediately we did like $30,000 in sales in just the first few hours. And I had a hard deadline, you know, that we're closing. Once we hit 150 people, we're closing the doors, and that created a lot of scarcity, which got me a lot of sales. But I think the big thing was having everyone in the market all talking about me at the same time. When there's 5 big gurus in your market and 4 of them are all talking about you for 2 weeks, each of them are sending 6 or 7 emails to these videos you're creating, it really creates a buzz, and you kind of become the talk of the whole industry. So that was huge, and that actually helped me build my list really fast. It helped me build my list with a lot of buyers, for one, because the people who were coming over opting in were kind of the cream of the crop on these guys' lists, right? It helped me get some of the best people on their lists, and now I reciprocate, and I go back and promote, you know, promote stuff in reciprocal promotions. But it's really important to go out of your way to build these relationships by starting them off with the giving hand. Don't just come to people and say, hey, will you promote my thing? You know, I get those emails all the time. We don't even acknowledge them because it's backwards way of doing it. Go out, help these guys who have the big list in your niche, and don't expect them all to promote it. You know, if you can get 20, 30, 40% of them promoted, you're doing pretty good, but don't expect them to. Don't do something with the expectation of something in return. Just do it and trust when time comes, enough of them that will promote your stuff that you'll do pretty good. That one is huge right there. It's just basically following that kind of classic launch formula that these guys, especially Jeff Walker and Frank Kern, are the two big ones who really got it popular. Just kind of following that proven formula because it works.
All right, brilliant. Thanks very much, Chris. Okay, so I want to quickly talk to you now about your documentary that's about internet marketing. This is going to be something I'm really looking forward to. I want you to tell everyone about it so they can look out for it in the coming months.
Well, basically, myself and my partner, Bedros Koulian, and he was my affiliate on, you know what, he was my affiliate that I started that relationship off of 1.5 years ago, and he's the one who made 71 of my sales out of the 152 sales. We've become good friends ever since, and, you know, we decided that we both love internet marketing, so let's create a documentary about the subculture of internet marketing. And we have most of the big guys in the industry in it. I mean, Brian Dice, Perry Belcher, Brad Fallon, Annie Jenkins, Yannick Silver, Jeff Johnson, Tucker Max, Gary Vaynerchuk, Jason Moffitt, Matt Trainer. I could go on and on. John Carlton, John Osorop, Mike Koenigs, you know, Vince Del Monte, Craig Valentine. The list is huge. I mean, we probably interviewed 30 or 35 of these guys. And like I said, we probably have about 80% of the big well-known internet marketers in the world who are in the documentary. And it's basically showing how these guys, who a lot of them, you know, got kicked out of high school or didn't graduate high school, a lot of them have attention deficit disorder. A lot of them can never hold down a regular day job, have complete, you know, ADD and are completely unemployable. And how here they are making 7 and 8 figure incomes, working in their flip-flops, most of them from a home office, with just a few, employees or subcontractors working for them, a lot of times virtually, and they're helping a lot of people, they're making a lot of money, and a lot of times they take months off at a time. Typically they'll work really hard for a few weeks, like when it comes time to launch something, and then they're taking a few months off again, and they're just working a few hours a day again for a few months. And we wanted to show this because in this economy, and everyone else, you know, here in the States, when the majority of people are worried about the economy, and are losing their jobs and are going broke, you know, here's these guys who by all means should be broke as well because they're, like I said, pretty damn unemployable. here these guys are freaking killing it, mostly with their information products, but some of it because of their blog or you know, whatever. And some of these personalities are just, you know, incredible. I mean, like when we interviewed Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, that guy just has one of the, you know, I mean, that guy's something else. I mean, you know, how do you define Gary Vaynerchuk? You know, Andy Jenkins, we're interviewing Andy Jenkins today. That's another, that guy's nuts, man, but he's awesome, you know, quite the personality. And to showcase this, we're just showing this whole subculture of these frickin', you know, renegades and outlaws who are making all this money online while you know, the majority of society, at least here in the West, is bitching and moaning about the economy. Here's these guys who, you know, have a positive attitude and are kicking ass and they're doing it their own way. And we think it's a story that needs to be told. So that's the story we're telling. It's called Add to Cart. You know, that it's called Add to Cart's the name of the movie. And we're looking at getting it out early 2010.
Super. All right, everyone, I hope you all look out for that because it's going to be something else. You know, it's going to be something you haven't seen before, so that'd be great. Okay, so Chris, you mentioned sort of about your internet lifestyle. Do you want to just tell us what the best thing about being an internet entrepreneur and living the internet lifestyle is?
The best thing for me, it's the freedom. You know, I'm not making the multi millions of dollars, and that's not super important to me. What I do have is the freedom of being able to wake up, and if I don't want to work today, I don't have to work today. Unless I have an interview with a guy like you or something, which is typically once or twice a week I have some coaching clients or an interview, some kind of appointment I have to stick to. But typically on most days, if I want to take the day off, I can. I usually don't, but I can. I'm at home, right? My home office. My assistant is out there in the other room doing work for me. My wife's out there. She does a lot of work for me. My two little daughters are out there. So I get to see my wife and my daughters all day, which is incredible. Anytime I want, I can go out there and jump on my Harley and go for a ride. Anytime we want, we can say, hey, screw it. Let's go to Vegas for the next week or let's go on a little vacation. So it's just basically, it's having that freedom to do what I want when I want. I'm not into the bling. I'm not into the mansions. You know, I don't have to have a $300,000 car. As long as I'm not stuck to a day job and don't have to show up to the construction site or the cubicle, and I can work where and when I want, doing what I want, helping a lot of people, having a lot of fun, and networking with, you know, other guys like you who are, I mean, internet marketers are like the coolest guys in the world. You know, it's all about that for me. It's about the freedom and the fun and the passion of helping other people and doing something that's, you're done. When you have a blog or an info product, you're selling you. You're selling your brand, right? And to me, that is so exciting because you can create and mold your brand and kind of become a rock star version of yourself while still being authentic to who you are. You know what I mean? You can, like, create this person that you put out there, and you kind of become more and more of that person that you put out there. And it's incredible. It's incredible. But I have to break it down. I break it down to the word freedom.
All right, brilliant. I couldn't agree more. I always describe it as just freedom. Okay, if you could jump in a time machine and go back to when you first started, what would you do differently?
If I could jump in a time machine?
I don't know, it's not very realistic.
You know what? I don't know what, because I think every mistake I made along the way is a mistake that had to be made, and it's a mistake that's kind of made me who I am today. I don't think I would change a thing, and I'm not trying to sound like I've made all good choices because I've probably four to five things I've done wrong. In fact, four of the five things that I've done, I've probably done wrong. But, you know, I've learned from those or I massaged those into better choices. And the 20% that I'm doing right has been enough to create one hell of a business. I guess one thing I would have stayed in shape. I let myself get out of shape, when I stopped personal training and started working at home, right? And sitting around and got married, you know, I packed on like, I don't know, 70 pounds. And I used to be ripped. I mean, I was, you know, I was shredded. So now the last 3 months, because I've been out of shape for 3 years, for the last 3 months, I'm eating good again, working out hard again, doing the cardio, lifting the weights. I have a trainer actually, even though I own a training business, I went and hired a trainer. So I guess it would have been not letting myself get out of shape, but I don't regret the fact that I did it because that'll never get you anywhere. That, you know, that's living in the past. And I think every single mistake I've made, I've had to make, and there's a reason for it. I think somehow, some way, everything is exactly perfect the way it is.
All right, brilliant. What a great way to end this interview, Chris. All right, thanks very much. Is there any last words of advice or anything you want to tell my readers?
You know what, Michael? I want to thank you for interviewing me today. And you're living proof of this lifestyle. I mean, here you are. You're a young guy, and you have an extremely popular website. You have a huge following of people. You're tapped into some of the coolest and best entrepreneurs on the planet. And, you know, I want to tip my hat to you, man, and say I commend you for what you're doing. You're a great example, and I want to thank you for being who you are, and I want to thank you for having me on this call today.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. You're a great guy. Cheers.